In 2 Chronicles chapter number 15 tonight, we're going to begin reading, and we're going to read the whole chapter, and then maybe go back and take a look at a couple of verses in particular. But you remember in the last couple of weeks we've been talking about this one guy. It kind of led to this one guy, Asa. I feel like I don't say his name properly, but it doesn't matter. But as we go in 2 Chronicles chapter number 15, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of God came to Azariah, the son of Oded." I want you to pay attention right here because I didn't even think about this until Linda said what she said a minute ago. So, "And the Spirit of God came unto Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now, the Bible's not contradicting itself here when it's saying that God will forsake him. What he's just saying is, look, you turn and walk away from God, then God's hand of protection will be off of you. Because we know the Bible teaches us that God said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. But as we look at this scripture, and what I was thinking about right here is, if you look right here, and in verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, "The Spirit of God came to Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa." What if he hadn't done what God told him to do? God told Azariah and gave him words and said, I want you to go and I want you to tell this to Asa. And he goes and tells him. Sometimes I think we may cause other people to miss blessings because we don't do what God tells us to do. And that's exactly what you were talking about a minute ago. God can use us if we'll open our ears and open our hearts and listen for God to lead us in our lives. But let's continue reading verse number 2. "And he went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you." Now, we just read about last week how they won this battle against the Ethiopians. He says, "The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law." I tell you, when we get away from the Word of God and we get away from people teaching us the Word of God, we get away from the law of God, and I'm not talking about living by the law, I'm talking about God gave us this Word right here, then we can find ourselves in trouble really quick. Verse number 4, "But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them." He says, you know, they went for a long season without a true God, without the teaching priest, without the law. Then they found themselves in trouble, obviously, in verse number 4. He said, because then when they found themselves in that trouble and they turned unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. I don't know why sometimes we have to put ourselves in a place that we find ourselves in trouble before we begin seeking the Lord. But, I mean, it's been, you can go back in and look at Israel all through the Bible and you can see that pattern exists there. And I'm afraid sometimes in our lives that it exists in our lives that we have to find ourselves in trouble before we begin to seek the Lord. But I'm glad to say this, just as it says in the end of verse number 4, that when they found themselves in trouble and they turned to the Lord and they sought the Lord, what does it say? He was found of them. That every single time, even though I may have put myself in that trouble, I may have put myself in the position that I really needed God in my life, that when I turned and I sought after God in my life, and when I turned and said, okay, God, I'm sorry, I went and found myself some trouble, I need you, that he was always there. Verse number 5, "And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity." You can see bad things are happening in their life because they have turned away from God, didn't have the teaching of God, didn't have the word of God. "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Verse number 8, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord and gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with them." I want you to notice what happened here. When the word of God was brought to Asa, that he turned and done exactly what God would want him to do. We need to be really careful that when God reveals something to us, whether it be through the Word of God, whether it be through preaching of the Word of God, or whether it be through just God speaking to us while we're studying the Word of God, riding down the road, whatever it happens to be, and God reveals something to us in our life that is standing between us and Him, or that is causing us to not be in the right place with Him, the best thing that we can do is not be stiff-necked and go, oh, I think I'm just going to keep going. We better turn and do exactly what God is showing us. Look, because it says, and when Asa heard these words in verse 8 in the prophecy of Oded, he took courage. He said, oh, I know what I need to do. And he got rid of all the abominable things out of the idols and renewed the altar of the Lord, and there was before the porch of the Lord. In verse number 9, and he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, and they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God in their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swore unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen. Look how serious this guy is. He removed his own mother from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. Now you remember, as we read last week, about the great victory that he had, and even the week before that, how God led it in to this. But I want us to look at just one particular thing in the scripture tonight, and maybe I won't be too long-winded about this, but as we look at what, as this message was brought to Asa, and as he begins to instruct the people to turn back to God, as he even went as far as to say, look, if you don't turn to God, I'm going to kill you. That's just it. That's going to be our new slogan for Fellowship Baptist Church. Live for God, or we're going to kill. No, I'm just playing. But as Asa goes to him, he says, look, you're either going to turn for God, live for God, because he knew the effect that it had if just a small handful or just a small few didn't follow and didn't follow God. He knew what that small group, that effect that would have on the whole thing. It's kind of like, you know, the one rotten apple spoils the bunch. It's kind of that same thought process. But as he begins to heed to the Word of God, and the Bible tells us that he took courage, that he was actually, I mean, he jumped right in and began to turn things around. That as in verse number eight, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. Look at this next part. And he renewed the altar of the Lord. For just a minute, I want us to look at these few words here in the middle of verse number 8. And he renewed the altar that was of the Lord. As we look at that scripture tonight, I think one thing in our churches that is taken for granted, one thing that is not used nowhere near enough, one thing that maybe is overlooked in our churches is this altar. As you go and you study the Old Testament, and I looked up this afternoon at how many times the word altar is used throughout the Bible, and it was like 318 times or something, and I started trying to read a few of them and trying to highlight a few of them. But especially if you go back into the Old Testament, and the altar is mentioned in the New Testament also. It's not an Old Testament doctrine. It's not an Old Testament belief. But as you go through the whole Bible, and it doesn't matter because the whole Bible was written for us anyway, but as you go and you look in the Old Testament, you can see, especially, go read about Abraham. And everywhere that Abraham went, the first thing that he did was to build an altar. See, there are some important things that happen around an altar, and there's some important things that happen at an altar that I think that maybe if we took into our Christian lives, and we took and we became more, I don't want to say more serious, but if we took it and we done it a few more times in our life that it might would improve our relationship with God. See, in the Bible, as this altar was built, that there was a whole lot of things that happened here at this altar that maybe we don't even think of. And I know that in some places an altar was made of wood. Sometimes it was made of stones or different things. But this altar here at the front of this church, these are not just steps so you can get up on this platform. There is something that is very special about an altar in a church. And I know a lot of times when we give an altar call at the church, that there's people around the altar and they're praying and they're calling. And yeah, I understand that you can pray at your seat. And I understand that I can pray at my seat and I can pray going down the road and I can pray anywhere, because the Bible tells me that when I call on the God that He inclines His ear to me and He hears my prayers. But there is something special about just stepping out, coming to an altar, and maybe if nothing else, maybe it just punches the devil right in the mouth, and you're saying, I want you to know that I need to spend just a few minutes talking to God. I need to spend just a few minutes, maybe me and God having a conversation. See, it's really cool when Autumn calls me on the phone and she wants to have a conversation with me, and that's cool. Sometimes I'm really busy and I don't take enough time to talk with Autumn. But I want to tell you something. If Autumn really wants to see me and she comes by my office and she comes in my office and sits down, I don't have much choice but for her and I to have a conversation, because she's not going to get up and leave until we have the conversation that she is ready to have. I'll just leave that there and I'll stay out of the doghouse tonight. And sometimes, you know, I know that we can pray to God anywhere, but I think sometimes it's important in our Christian lives that we say, God, I'm willing, I don't care who knows it, I don't care if it's publicly, I don't care if anybody else in the church, I don't care what they think, I don't care, it does not matter anything. I need to come talk to you, God, because either I need some help from you, or maybe sometimes you just want to come and pray and worship Him at an altar. There's a whole lot of worship that happens at an altar if you go and you study God's Word. I believe that the altar is not used anywhere near enough in our churches nowadays. As you look and as I study just a little bit about the altar, you know, there was atonement that was made at the altar, and in a lot of situations there were sacrifices that was made for sin at an altar. And I don't know about you, but I can especially remember, look, we'll talk about teenage years, we'll talk about younger days, and that way we don't have to admit that we're still sinners, even though we know that we are, but we'll talk about the past. But I can remember especially as a teenager trying to live for God and knowing that I needed to live for God, being brought up that I had a relationship with God, and man, Daddy, he was kind of tough on us from time to time. Not so much, you know, physically or anything like that, but Daddy just let us know that there was expectations that he had of us, and then there was also expectations that God had of us, and we needed to try to meet those expectations. A lot of the times, the reason that I didn't get in any more trouble than what I did get into, sometimes it wasn't because I knew that it was wrong to do, but I did not want to disappoint my Daddy. I didn't want Daddy to be disappointed that I had not met his expectation. But you know what? In my spiritual life, as I look, there's a lot of times that I have probably disappointed the expectation of my Heavenly Father. That He has given me in His Word that there's expectations for me and the way that I should live and the way that I should do. And a lot of times my life, and way back when I was a teenager, there was times that I didn't meet those expectations of my Heavenly Father. Well, you know what? When I didn't meet the expectations of my Daddy, we would usually sit down and have a conversation, because Daddy said that I had rather debate with him than anything in the world. He said that I wasn't a bad kid, but maybe I'm just going to rephrase that. Daddy said I was the favorite kid, but not really. But this is my opportunity to claim that. I wasn't a bad kid, but if Daddy told me something, I wanted to debate with him. I wanted him to explain himself to me. I wanted him to tell me why he felt the way that he did. Me and him had a lot of long conversations because I felt like that he needed to hear my case. You know what? Sometimes I'm guilty of doing that with my Heavenly Father also. He has given me His expectation, and I'm wanting to live to His expectation as long as He'll let me explain myself to why I'm doing what I'm doing or why I'm not doing what I'm not doing. But you know, a lot of times when it always turned out best, and I have given Silas this advice as my 16, almost 17-year-old son, I said, you know, sometimes you just need to understand that you were wrong. You don't have to explain why you were wrong. You don't have to tell me why you were wrong. You just have to understand that you were wrong and say, I'm sorry, I'll try not to do it again, and mean you can go right on. And you know what? That's what God wants from us. And that's one wonderful reason about this altar and one wonderful thing that can happen around this altar is we can finally give up and say, you know what, God? I'm not going to try to explain why I did this, or I'm not going to try to explain why I didn't do what I was supposed to do. God, I just want to come talk to you, and I just want you to know that I realize that I'm wrong because you've already told me that you love me so much that you'll forgive me for anything that I did do or things that I didn't do. And God, I just want to come and I want to admit to you that I'm wrong. I want atonement. I want forgiveness. And I can remember as a teenager when I'd go to my dad and say, Daddy, I was wrong. I'm sorry. You were right. I should have done it your way. Hey, it was all said and done. We were over. No argument. No trouble. Everything went just like it was supposed to do. But you know, I think a lot of times, you say, well, preacher, I can ask God forgiveness at home, beside my bed. I can ask God's forgiveness sitting in a pew. Sure, you absolutely can. No doubt about it. But I can remember, especially as a teenager, when I was trying to live for God and falling on my face, and even times in my life when I wasn't trying to live for God, and I got to the end of my rope, I was tired of being feeling guilty for not living the way that I was supposed to be living. There was nothing sweeter than to come up to an altar and get on my knees and say, God, please forgive me. Help me to turn away from what I'm doing. Help me to get away from it, God. Help me that I don't fall back into that temptation. God, help me that the next time that you ask me to do something, that I do it. Yeah, I could ask forgiveness and at home in the bed, I could ask forgiveness, but there was something special about an altar. And I want you to notice that one of the first things that Asa did, he said, I'm going to rebuild the altar. I'm going to get this thing back into shape that they had let it get run down. And I'm afraid a lot of times, it's vacuumed tonight, it's clean, everything. But I want to tell you, we let this altar get run down in our hearts. And we don't use this altar the way that we should. We don't use it for that place of atonement, for that place to come and say, God, I know what your expectation is. God, I know I missed your expectation. God, forgive me. I know, God, that you've told me in your word you're going to forgive me. But God, I want to come and I want to ask you, I want to admit to it. You know, sometimes the best thing in the world that can happen is for us just to admit that we're wrong, get that accountability out there, get it to where the devil can't say, well, it's still a secret, because the devil uses secrets, and to say, God, I know what's going on in my life, and God, I need forgiveness of this. He said, and when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. You know what? I'm encouraged by being able to come to an altar. I can take courage by knowing that when I come here and I pray, again, I know I can pray anywhere in the world, but there's something special, and I feel like, hey, if there was one of the old superheroes had a red phone, and maybe it was Batman. I can't remember. They all had a direct line that people could get a hold of them. You know, if you were in trouble, you had that direct line that you could get a hold of whatever superhero that you needed. Well, sometimes I feel like my direct line to God is right here around this altar. This is a sacred place that I can come and pray. He says, and he took courage at the words of Oded the prophet. And he put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord. I think that in my life, it would do me some good to renew the effects that the altar can have in my life. We know it's a place of atonement. It's a place that I can commune with God. There's places in the Bible where men were around the altar. And there was communion that was had from God. There were things provided around the altar. You think about this, when Abraham took Isaac up and he was going to sacrifice him. And that altar was there. And just as Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, the angel of the Lord stopped him from sacrificing his son. And look, what was provided for him? God provided a ram for the sacrifice. You know, there's times in your life and in my life, it might not be a physical need, it might be just pure spiritual, but there's things that I have needed in my life, and I felt like I got a hold of God right at an altar. Personal story, y'all know I'm bad to tell these, and sometimes I should ask my wife's permission, and I don't. But I know there are people that went way longer than we did, but I can remember when we wanted to start our family. And for just some reason, we were having trouble getting pregnant with Silas. We didn't know it was Silas, but we was having trouble getting pregnant with Silas. And we'd been doctor a couple of different things, and we'd talked to different people and everything. But there was a night when I told Autumn, we went to an altar, and we were praying, and I guess it had probably been about 7 or 8 months that we wanted to start our family. And we went to an altar, and I said, look, we're going to go pray, and we're going to give it to God, and we're going to leave it with God. Now, I'm not real sure that we left it with God, but we took it to God. And we said, God, we're going to trust you with this. We know that you're able. We know that you can take care of this. God, you just lead us however you want us to go. Was it the next month that we found out that we was pregnant with Silas? It was real close to that. God provided. You know, there's been time and time again when there was things that I needed in my life, needed God to move in. And God moved in an amazing way, but I really felt like that I got a hold of God at an altar. He says, and he renewed the altar that was before the porch of the Lord. There's atonement, there's provision, there's sacrifice, there's communion, there's nourishment, there's all kinds of different things that can happen at an altar. But here's the thing. This is a wonderful place. This altar is wonderful. I love it. A lot of times I go and pray at this altar. But let me tell you something. If this is the only altar that you're using, you're not getting in touch with God nowhere near enough. You need one at your house somewhere too. I ain't saying it's got to be a physical altar, but you need a place that you go and you pray and you talk to God. A lot of people refer to it as a prayer closet. And that's fine. If you want a closet, that's fine. If you want it to be beside your bed, that's fine. But we miss out on the power of prayer a lot of times in our life. I believe there's a lot of power at an altar, but I better have somewhere at my house that I'm getting a hold of God too. Justin Clark has called me a couple times this week. He's been praying about some different things, and it's been amazing while he's been doing these little things, and he's tore up excited. I mean, I'm getting scared for him because I see him riding down the road talking to his cell phone. I don't know if he's crazy or what's going on, but he's excited about some things going on in his life right now, and he's praying about some things, and God's moving in some things in his life. See, church is not the only place that we should be trying to get in contact with God and trying to use an altar. Look, I want us to continue reading. There was another verse of scripture right here that I wanted to reach out to real quick. I may have to read verse 11. And they offered unto the Lord the same time the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Ain't that cool? That they entered into a covenant. They said, God, we're going to follow you. That altar was renewed. And the next thing you know, they're saying, God, we promise that we're going to follow you. Verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Well, you know what? Sometimes I have to be reminded that at the age of 7, when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me of my sins, I entered into a covenant with God. I said, I want to be one of yours. I want to be one of your children. I want you to forgive me of my sins. And there's been more than one time that I've had to stop and freshen up that covenant with God. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know about that. Well, that's okay. You can not know about that all you want to, but almost 21 years ago, I entered into a covenant with Autumn. And I told her that I would love her and cherish her for richer, for poorer. And she said, obey me somewhere in the middle of that. I remember that. We might need to renew that covenant. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, there's things that, but you know what? Every now and again, I have to stop and go to Autumn and say, Autumn, I'm not being the husband that I should be. I'm not treating you the way that I should. It usually costs me a big steak dinner somewhere or another, but we renew that covenant. And we stop and say, look, we need to focus on us for just a minute. Well, you know what? Sometimes in our spiritual lives, we need to stop and focus on us and God for just a minute. See where we're at. See what how our covenant is. See how our altars are in our life. He says in verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. They didn't hide the fact. They said, Lord, we're entering into a covenant with you and we want everybody to know it. And they were happy about it. Well, this thing ain't, God, I'm going to serve you, I guess. Man, this is the best life that we can live. I mean, we just, sometimes we take it for granted. I take it for granted because this world paints a pretty picture. I'm about done. This world paints a pretty picture of the life that the world can offer. And if we're not careful, we get to looking at that and going, that over there, that looks enticing. But you know what? Just look for just a minute and see the pain, the heartache, the agony. It's all hid by a big smile somewhere or another, because for one thing, they're empty. When I lay down at night, I'm full on the inside. I have peace on the inside. I know without a doubt, if I don't wake up, I know where I'm going to be, and that's in the presence of the Lord. And there is no better or greater gift that we can have than that. If I didn't have Jesus, listen, if there was no such thing as heaven, if there was no such thing as hell, and there is, there absolutely 100% is, but if there was no such thing as heaven and there was no such thing as hell, I would still want to live the life that I'm living right now with the peace that God's given me. We're living the best life there is. Make sure that those altars in your life, that they're in the shape that they should be in. Make sure that you're using them the way that we should be. Make sure that covenant, go back and review that covenant that you made with the Lord. Remember the place that you were at when you said, God, I want to be one of yours. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be one of yours. Stop and take a look at it. And then let's let this world know what God's done for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do for us. God, I know that sometimes that I take the opportunity, the ability, and the privilege that it is to pray, whether it be at an altar, whether it be at my house, whether it be in my truck, wherever I'm at, God, I take that for granted. And God, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry for not using that and using the power of prayer in my life. God, I want to thank you for the covenant that you entered in with me, God. God, you have always held up your end of the bargain. God, you've always been, and God, I pray that you'll strengthen me and help me, God, that I will always hold up my end of the covenant, that I'll live a life, God, that is up to your expectation, God, that I'll use the power of prayer to keep my life in the way that it should be with you, God, that you will use my life that I may give you glory and point others to the cross of Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.